It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
This is Bob Siegel and Mike Friedenberg. We are in good spirits tonight. There's a pace in our step, a smile on our face. I'll give you three guesses as to why, and the first two don't even count. Well, maybe I'll give you a little clue. We do not need comfort rooms or coloring books or days off from class. Our wives are not threatening to withhold sex and shave their heads. In fact, it's a celebration. And Mike, thank you for the great party at your house last Tuesday. We really had a lot of fun and a lot to celebrate, didn't we?
That was a lot of fun. At that,
a lot more fun than 2020.
Oh, there's no comparison.
Of course, 2020, we went home with Trump winning and woke up in the morning with all these mysterious Biden votes that had come in. It was incredible.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
This was truly a phenomenal election, and I really couldn't be any happier. There's so many good things. In fact, we've got a full show to talk about all the good things that happened in this election cycle, Bob. So that's pretty exciting.
And it is nice. And when you think of all the things that Trump has gone through with two impeachments and the Russian hoax and four different indictments, and it just goes on.
Convictions.
Two assassination attempts that were in real time, and then others that we know of that were thwarted by Iran. They just caught somebody from China that was trying to get onto Mar-a-Lago too. I've said it often, he is a phoenix that rises out of the ashes.
Well, I don't know of anybody in history who's tougher and more persistent. And I'm just saying, I don't know of anybody. I know people could go back to Lincoln, let's say, and he obviously went through a lot. And maybe, but that's the only person I could think of that even be anywhere in the same ballpark. I mean, his toughness and his persistence. And he's what, 77 or 78?
I believe I heard 78. Well, just to be fair to his opponent, Kamala, the Mamala, she did give a very gracious concession speech. And if you'll just indulge me, I'd like to just read the first couple of lines of it. Well, let me start here. I grew up in a middle-class family. Okay.
Okay, Bob. Her speech was okay.
It was okay. I was being tongue-in-cheek because she started out with, we're going to have a peaceful transition of power. And then we heard all this lecturing, which obviously the neon lights in between each line were January 6th. We're going to have a peaceful transition because that's what's important.
Yeah, listen, it was fine, but it wasn't the most gracious speech I've ever heard. Just to be frank. Okay. But hey, listen, it was a rough night for Democrats, but one Democrat in particular had a pretty good night. Really? Well, there's two.
Joe Biden.
Well, Joe Biden's one.
He looked happier than I've seen in a long time.
I cannot say. I saw a picture of him and I said, wait a minute, is that an old picture of Joe Biden? Because he looked younger. He was smiling. He looked invigorated.
And he's inviting Trump over to the White House, this after calling him Hitler for a couple of weeks.
I guess
he's not really Hitler, I mean, if he can invite him to the White
House.
And
then when he spoke, it was the best I've heard him in maybe a couple years.
I think he feels vindicated. Did you hear that they're now trying to shove him out for just 2 months so that for at least 2 months she can call herself the president?
Yeah, that's disgusting. The idea that
I wouldn't put it past them.
That the idea that Kamala would be the first woman president is just
when there are so just, many other women, I mean, that are and actually to do qualified that for the
when
job.
When she actually didn't even go through the nomination process. That's just not legitimate. That's illegitimate. Baloney.
She wouldn't be competent to be a dog catcher. And I liked when Trump went to McDonald's and he looked out the window and says, I've already worked here 15 minutes more than Kamala.
Yeah. But the other person was Chuck Schumer. The reason he's very happy is because K Kamala is not going to be the first woman president, so he still has a chance to be the first woman president.
The line that Trump gave at the Al Smith dinner says, don't worry, Charles, with all the wokeism in your party, you can still run as the first female president. That was a priceless
And that
remark.
Path is still open to him.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's fairly happy about that. So,
well, Mike, I want to credit you again because you did call the election for Trump. And my prediction was that when they were calling him Hitler those last few weeks, they were preparing for all the blowback they're going to give him. We're starting to see that from a lot of governors, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I did predict 312 votes, electoral votes, and that's what it could come in at. But, I mean, I have to say that if you looked at all the data, that's what it said. Other than the stupid polls, like the Iowa poll.
All the polls were always, it's close, it's within an
inch.
It's razor thin.
But this
was a blowout. This was the red wave people were hoping to get in 2022. Yeah.
But I was laughing at the Iowa little poll there saying, oh, Kamala was in the lead there. I didn't believe that for a millisecond.
No, in Iowa? No, not a chance.
No, that poll was utterly ludicrous.
That person's probably putting out their resume this week.
Although
there's nothing on the resume, unfortunately.
No, actually, Ann, what's her name?
Seltzer? Is it Seltzer?
Seltzer, yes. Yeah. Ann Seltzer. She has
had a pretty good
reputation as a pollster. I mean, some of that is because there's not much critique of her from the left, but she has had a history of being right on a number of polls.
Unfortunately, she's going to be remembered for this now, and that's unfair to her, but they will remember her for this.
And as everyone was, you know, was what they call herding toward, well, tied, Trump minus one, Harris plus one, Trump plus one, all that herding there, that statistically, if you've got a real polling organization, that doesn't happen. They were all looking at each other, and they were frightened. They had polling that showed Trump winning this fairly decisively. They didn't.
I believe that's why they ratcheted up all the rhetoric those last few weeks. They were looking at their internal polls, and they're calling them Nazis. That was their last card to play.
The people in the know in the Democrat Party had that. But let's just talk a little bit about how massive this victory was. First of all, no counties throughout the United States out of the roughly the 2,900 plus counties flipped to Harris. 54 flipped to Trump, none to Harris, none.
And a lot of counties in blue states that still voted for Harris flipped to Trump also, isn't that
correct? Well, there's 54 of those.
Yeah.
Throughout the country, 54 flipped to Trump.
Yeah.
But what makes that even more remarkable is 10 counties in California flipped to Trump. California.
Even a little hope for California. Okay. Did you think you'd live to see the day?
So in 2020, Biden won 477 counties and run.
I put that one in quotes, of course, but go on.
477 counties in 2020. And Trump won 2,605 counties in 2020.
So they weren't able to pull this out by cheating this time. And so, you would credit that to the Republicans doing a better ground game?
Yes. Bottom line is Trump won. Let me go backwards. 2,495 counties. And this time he won 2,551 counties. So Trump won even more counties. So now it's to Trump winning 2,551 counties and Harris winning 423 counties. So it just keeps getting more and more dense. They keep relying on more and more votes from these urban areas, from these cities, which they do have a lot of control in. These big cities are Democrat machine cities. Yet this time, it's getting harder and harder to squeeze the votes out of there. And so that's a good trend. So let's talk a little bit more about this trend. In our last show 2 weeks ago, I projected it would be about 150 million votes. It looks like it's going to be over that. It's probably going to be maybe 154, 155 million votes total. And right now, I'm looking at the remaining votes that's left to be counted. I'm getting about 76, 77 million votes for Trump. So he's going to blow away what he did in 2020, which was about 74 million, and 73.3 million for Harris, which will give Trump about a 2% margin victory, which a popular vote victory.
And I'm glad he won the popular vote. You know, Mike, you and I are both believers in the Electoral College, and we've stated our reasons often. But if he hadn't won the popular vote, we'd be hearing that tired narrative that he's not the real president. So whatever the reason, I'm glad he won both.
And then, of course, the narrative in the last week of the election was what Ann Seltzer had detected was a massive uprising of women ready to throw off the yoke of male tyranny and patriarchy, and that was what's going to propel Harris to victory. That was the narrative.
All based on a lie. Trump made it very clear he wasn't for a national ban on abortion, and I've said often I would be fine with a national ban on abortion. I'll say that without apology. But that's not what Trump said. That's not what Trump plans to do. And they were misrepresenting him and lying. And what an insult to women to assume that that's their only issue, that they don't care about right. The fact that men are clobbering their daughters in basketball games because they're identifying as women, or that people are raping them coming here illegally from other countries, or the prices are going up in the grocery store, or their kids aren't safe. What an insult to women. Or so of course they turned out for Trump.
Just be able to walk out someplace in the middle of the day and not be attacked.
Yeah, a lot of these rapes were people just jogging in the park. Wasn't even at nighttime.
Yeah. So contrary to, you know, people were talking plus 18, you know, Kamala's going to pick, you know, 18 points above. She's going to get 18 points more than Trump. And what really happened is Trump won 46% of the women and Harris won 53%. So that is a 7-point margin. And once again, we see this trend. Trump did better with women in 2016 than they said he was. Then he did better than they said he was going to do in 2020. And he did way better with women than they said he was going to do in 2024. And in all three elections, by the way, from 2016 to 2020 to 2024, Trump did better and better with women.
And this was despite Hollywood circling the wagon for Kamala.
Yes, exactly. So it turned out that women were almost 50%. Well, you're going to say 45, 46%. So then you're getting close to 50%. About half the women in the country turned out were concerned about the same issues everybody else is. They're concerned about the economy. A lot of them were concerned about this weirdness around the whole trans stuff with their daughters who go out and compete against men in competitions. So they cared about the issues that everybody else cared about.
And to hear them talk now, you'd hear all this racism and sexism in the Republican Party. I think it's pretty racist when Obama comes and lectures the brothers that they're black, so they darn well better vote for Kamala because she's black and women have got to vote for abortion. That's about as racist and sexist and stereotyped and bigoted as it gets.
So the women's vote was a big dud for Kamala Harris. It was. It'd be nice to obviously to pick up more of the women's vote the next cycle. And I think that there's some things that Trump can do.
Well, maybe
to do that.
He will. Just wait till people check
the 401ks.
But if the
trend continues, I mean, so I do think there's a chance we can
do
better next
time. Well,
and look
how much has changed already just by Trump getting elected. Qatar has kicked Hamas out of the country. Hamas says they want to have peace. This big migration coming from Mexico is starting to splinter off. I mean, just by him getting elected, look what's going on.
Yeah, it's kind of reminiscent a little bit of when Reagan got elected.
Yeah, well, basically the word is out. There's a new sheriff in town.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So the big news is Trump won 45% of the Hispanic vote. 45%.
And even a higher percentage of the Hispanic male vote.
Yes, yes. But the gap between the male Hispanic vote and the female Hispanic vote was much smaller than
there
was
between. Well, when it comes to gender issues, Hispanics and African Americans are actually very conservative.
Yes. And that was a 13% increase over 2020. 13% increase. It is the highest percent of Hispanic vote ever recorded for a Republican candidate, the highest on record. Nobody's ever had a higher number of Hispanics voting than Trump in this cycle. That's incredible. He also won the county in the country, that has the highest percentage of Hispanics in the county, 97% Hispanic. He won that county in Texas. It's actually Starr County, Texas, 97%. And that county had not voted Republican since 1892. Trump won that county.
He certainly defies all odds.
Trump won the votes of more black Americans by a Republican since in 48 years since Nixon.
Yeah.
48 years. Seems just like yesterday, right, Bob? Nixon?
Just ask me if I'm a crook. I'll tell you I'm not a crook.
Yes, exactly. Good. So he roughly doubled his support among black men under age 45 compared to 2020. About 30% of them voted for him. And in total, 21% of black men voted for Trump, which was 2% more than in 2020. So that's really good. But then, of course, a lot of this data comes from exit polls. So exit polls vary a little bit, a few percentage points, like AP Votecast is an exit poll, Fox News, ABC. But AP Votecast has 24% of black men and 9% of black women. So all these are huge increases for Trump. Now, here is something that's very interesting that you may not have heard of. This was actually brought to my attention by my son, and I looked it up. Throughout the country, 17 Native American counties voted for Trump. Flat out voted for him.
I saw a Native American interviewed on TV last night.
65% of Native Americans voted for Trump. And 65%, which is actually the highest of any ethnicity voting for Trump. 65%. So he really connected there. And it was the same issues for everybody else. I'm also believing that his promise to reduce taxes on tips was a plus. And I don't want to be stereotypical, but there is a lot of Native Americans involved with the gaming industry. And a lot of them do work in that industry, in the reservations, like here in San Diego County. A lot of Native Americans work in the casinos and places like that. That's huge. No tax on their tips. So I think that also helped. But in general, the economy and also the gender issues, I believe as well. I think that just the craziness of the Democrat Party on the pronouns and the gender issues and mutilating children.
In that vein, here's a saying that's going around on the internet. I've just got to share this. I haven't seen a man beat a woman this bad since the Olympics.
Yes. Yeah. That's, yeah. I mean, it's not a huge number of votes, but it's significant.
Okay, we'll talk more about this when we return. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM 96.1 FM, The Answer. I just have to say this. As you know, there's this movement over the internet of women, and I want to talk to husbands and men who have girlfriends. Women are threatening because of Trump's victory. They're blaming men. They're going to shave their heads. They're going to withhold sex from their boyfriends and their husbands. Let me just say something to console the men. First of all, most of them are not going to do that. That's a lot of hooey. It's not going to happen for the most part. And if in your case it actually does happen from your girlfriend, dude, you dodged a bullet. Be grateful. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
Yeah, that's called the 4B movement, and it comes out of South Korea. The B stand for Korean letters and words, which I do not know. But the South Korean women who truly were being treated as second-class citizens used that as a campaign to try to gain more rights. That is not the same situation here in the United States.
So they're taking
a
real case of oppression and projecting it on...
Yeah, I agree with what you said, Bob. Bottom line, I do agree there. So then we did hear a lot about the endorsements. There was Lebanese endorsement, Lebanese Muslims endorsing Trump. And then there was the Dearborn, I think the mayor of Dearborn, a Muslim organization, endorsed Trump. So that was really, very interesting that we got that.
Well, Kamala deserved that. Did you see those two different campaign ads she put out? One for the Jews and one for the Muslims. And they were just saying opposite things about the war in Israel.
I did not see that.
She stands by Israel's right to defend herself in one. And it's just horrible what's going on in Gaza is the other one. And she deserves to have lost the Arab vote.
Now, it is interesting, CARE, the Congress.
The Muslim organization.
Immigrate. And anyway, they did a poll. And it's interesting that this, I did not know this. And it probably makes more sense. They showed that Jill Stein across the country received 51% of the Muslim vote. So they did it.
They didn't go to Trump, but they didn't vote for Kamala.
Right. This was a vote that was 100% solid Democrat for Biden.
Well, thank you, Jill. God bless these third-party candidates. You've got to love them. They come in very handy at times.
Now, Trump got 21% of the vote, and Harris got 20% of the vote.
You got to love it. You just got to love this.
But, I said, I was just surprised, but that actually makes sense because I don't have the view. But if I'm coming from that viewpoint of evil Israel, and I'd be looking at Trump thinking, he's not exactly whom I'm excited about.
Hey, Brendan, maybe during our next break we can play Gene Kelly dancing and singing in the rain. That's how I feel right now. But I can't do it like Gene Kelly could.
No, no. So in Dearborn, Michigan, right, which is the center of Muslim Americans in this country, Harris lost 22,000 votes in that compared to Biden in 2020. 22,000 votes down, and Trump picked up 9,000 votes. That means that probably she got about the same, but 22,000 votes, that's significant.
It certainly is.
Okay. So that's all good news. But I don't want to talk about this too much, but I do want to talk a little bit about the Jewish vote. And we were talking before the show, and I said this would be a very interesting show for you to do a whole show on as to why this is the case. Because one exit poll, ABC, showed that Harris still got 79% of the Jewish vote.
And that surprised me only in lieu of what's been happening, because I've seen a lot of Jewish people interviewed on TV saying, I've been a Democrat, but I'm voting for Trump. So that poll surprised me. He did a little better with Jewish people. Well, some of them did move over.
Well, now this particular one, actually, see that there was some variation. This exit poll said no Republican has done worse with Jews
for 24 years. Yeah, but there's others.
But then there was also another poll that showed that he increased his support like 1 or 2 points with Jews this time around over Biden.
Yeah.
And that 66% of the Jews supported Harris and 32% voted for
Trump. Bottom line, it's still an issue. And let me say something as a Jew, and I have said this before on the air. My fellow Jews are their own worst enemy. There's never been a more pro-Israel president than Donald Trump. Now, the Orthodox and conservative Jews love Trump, and they love him in Israel. But in America, most Jews are atheist or agnostic and liberal, and they just tell themselves that they've got to be Democrats. And I'll tell you why. They're caught in a time warp. They still think it's World War II. They're still voting in Franklin Roosevelt to stop Adolf Hitler. And they need to understand that time has moved on. After the ghastly way the Democratic Party has treated them, you'd think every single Jew in the country would have voted for Trump, but it's not happening, and that's very, very unfortunate.
It is. But that's, as I said, that is the one, I would say, dark spot in this whole
Well, it's very sad and very ironic.
Yeah, it is. So really, really, on every level, you know, at the county level, Hispanic Americans, Black Americans, Asian Americans, I don't have the stats, but Asian Americans did vote in higher percentages for Trump this time. Everybody voted in higher percentage for Trump's side, including women. Okay. I mean, as I said, I cannot emphasize that enough. That was the major theme, because everybody kind of knew that the Black vote was going to shift a little bit to Trump, at least a significant amount. And people were talking about the Hispanic vote. But yeah. So now I want to talk a little bit about what I call the Trump factor, as opposed to the Republican factor, because there are counties that are red now because Trump's on the ballot. A lot of them. I call it their Trumpy counties. They're not necessarily Republican counties. And in fact,
and they're not necessarily going to vote Republican next time when Trump's not on the ballot. Okay, hold that thought. We'll talk about these counties when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480-539, W&S Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books like certain movies where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy
Gene Kelly.
Again.
If he were alive today, he would be dancing.
Dark up above, the sun's in my heart, and I'm ready for love.
All right, I could listen to that all night the way I feel, but let's get back to Mike Friedenberg.
Yeah,
Thank you, Brendan.
He is one of my favorites of all time. He had it all. Just such a pleasant voice. A very good actor.
And when obviously, he danced, he made it look easy and natural.
No, I mean, he was fantastic.
He did things we'd never be able to do in a million years.
No, he's fantastic. So, as I was mentioning, there's Trumpy counties, and then there's Trumpy states. And the Sun Belt states, Trump kind of blew them out this time around. Nevada and Arizona and Georgia even, you know. He was still kind of tight in the Rust Belt states. And I was going to say something here, is there's no way, I don't think that a DeSantis or anybody else could have won those states. So I still think that we would have been having trouble winning those states without Trump on the ballot.
Well, because he's willing to really speak his mind instead of having all these handlers that you can't say this or you'll offend him. You can't say that or you'll offend them.
Well, the key issue is the trade issues in China. See, that's what put him on the map. That's why he won it in 2016.
And people make this big deal out of tariffs. He's only using tariffs as a negotiation. He's saying, if you're going to take your business out of a country, we're going to give you a tariff. And already there are people saying, hey, you know what? I think we're going to do business in the United States after all.
Right. There's already companies pulling back and saying they're considering. It can get a little complicated.
They don't understand the art of the deal.
And when he speaks in very broad terms. And what he did is he went overboard. I'll do 500%. Tariffs. I'll do it. Basically, what he's saying is he's not going to be afraid to use tariffs. He'll use the minimum amount of tariffs necessarily to achieve his goals. That's what he'll do. For example, right now, Michigan, 80,000 vote margin out of about 5.5 million votes. 80,000, that's not a big margin.
And you'd think that with the auto industry there in Detroit, that it would be a much bigger margin than that.
Yeah, Wisconsin, a 29,000 vote margin.
Well, these have been blue states for a long time.
So these are still competitive states, but my point is that just sit there, people. We're supporting Ron DeSantis, and people I respect were supporting him, and I do like Ron DeSantis.
He would be a good president, but I agree with you. I don't think he could have pulled this out.
No, it's just, and there is millions and millions of Trump-only voters. They would not show up unless Trump's on the ballot. Unfortunately, they didn't show up in 2022 for the midterms that they had. That red wave would have truly been amazing. You can't get them out. They don't trust politicians, and the things that sometimes make us uncomfortable or possibly cringe a little bit that Trump says are the reasons they like him, because there's nobody out there like Trump that says things like Trump. Nobody's even close.
I'd rather cringe a little bit at one of Trump's tweets and have the government decide that our children are going to have sex change operations and remove them from our custody.
Exactly.
If we don't like it. Get some perspective, people.
And so right now, Trump has coattails too. And we'll talk about the House in just a second. He has coattails. However, the coattails only go so far because there are people that came out and voted for Trump and just looked at the slick talking politician who never says anything that's offensive and just said, I don't really like the guy. I'm not going to vote for him. You could tell that because, you know, when you look at the Senate races, which are statewide races, places like Pennsylvania or Michigan, you're seeing a drop off of a couple hundred, 300,000 votes from Trump down to the Republican candidates.
It's too bad, though. I wish the people that voted for Trump, and this is going to be so important in the midterms, he has to have the House and he has to have the Senate, because otherwise he can't do the things he's promising to do. And if they take the House, I guarantee you they'll impeach him the first week. It'll be impeachment in search of a crime. They'll find out he bullied a kid in the sandbox in grade school. So we've got to take the House also.
I am encouraged, though, because I was looking around saying, is there anybody that could take the Trump mantle?
J.D. Vance?
I believe that he can. He's from Ohio.
I think the talk about DeSantis is going to dissipate. I think it's going to be J.D. Vance.
And the only weakness J.D. Vance has is that he's too articulate and he doesn't really make mistakes when he talks and he doesn't really say like...
He takes Trump's policies, but he makes them more linear. He goes from A to B to C and he connects the dots for people, whereas Trump just throws out these statements. Trump's like a male Ann Coulter in a way in terms of the... The bluntness and throwing.
Well, I'm not going to say it because I'm not. I used to like Ann Coulter, but she sort of went crazy.
I used to like Ann Coulter a lot better, too. You're right. She's kind of gone off the deep end.
Yes, but with that said, he's been fearless. Trump really admires him big time. You could see. I heard Trump talking about, and I could just sit J.D. Vance anywhere.
Well, he slaughtered in that vice presidential debate. He just slaughtered Waltz.
Well, he also,
I felt sorry for Waltz, and I did not like Waltz, but I felt sorry for the guy.
You can send him to the most hostile place. You could send him to The View. You could send him anywhere, and he will hold up and really do really well. So he is...
Yes, those cackling chickens on The View were a lot in the news these last few months.
Ohio. So he's from Ohio, which is, you know, it's a good area to be from for this type of thing, for the MAGA movement. You know, somebody from those areas, the Rust Belt states, the states that were hit hard by our callous export policy, where we just exported our jobs overseas, and we literally gave trillions of dollars to China that they used to build up their military.
We have never had a more incompetent administration than these last 4 years. Well, we've had other incompetent
administrations. No, it was Republicans, too. Remember, it was Trump that changed our policy on China. Up to that time, it was status quo.
I believe in the deep state and the rhino Republicans, and they are a serious problem, but I still think the Biden administration is the most inept and incompetent we have ever seen.
Yeah, they're very bad. So, speaking of Congress, right before I came here, I took a look, and there's a lot of different organizations doing projections.
At the House?
Yeah, for the House.
It was 213 for the Republicans last time I looked at
it. And it depends who you're looking at, but I looked at the Real Clear Politics. They do a projection, and I've been following them, and right before I came here, I looked at it. It was 216 with 11 undecided. Now, I looked it up right before the show started while I was here, and they had given another one to the Republicans. It's now 217 with 10 undecided.
We only need one more vote now?
Right. And so my projection was looking at Republicans are ahead in 5 out of the remaining 10 races.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're broadcasting this live. But for those of you who hear this on the podcast, the race will probably be already called. And you'll be saying, hey, what are you guys talking about? It's already called.
So 5, they're leading by 5. And I'm looking at those. And, you know, it's, a lot of them are California. But the one that was just called was California. Calvert was just called. I kind of looked at it, figured, okay, 3. So my projection is 219 minimum with a 221 max. So 219 to 221.
Governor Gruesome is not going to like this.
Yes. And if we won all 5, we would get to 222, I guess.
Well, I hope we get a wide margin. And I hope, now we do need to remember that in 2016, Republicans had all 3 also, the House, the Senate, the White House, and the Republicans just threw it all away. They would not work with Trump, Paul Ryan and his ilk. And I'm really glad that Mitch McConnell's not going to be in charge of the
Senate anymore. Let's talk a little bit about this, because this is another positive thing about this election. There is no comparison between 2016 and 2024, only very superficially. Yes, we have the House. Well, it looks like we're going to have the House. Let's knock on wood. We don't have it yet, but I believe we're going to get the House. We definitely have the Senate, and we have the presidency. Coming into 2016, he was despised and hated by half the Republicans.
And he was
in
naive. He thought if they were Republicans and if they were on his cabinet and if they were in the military, they would work for them. He has learned.
The Republicans literally sided with the Democrats to ensure that all investigations continued, and that if Trump were to try to stop them, then the Republicans and the Democrats promised to get together to shut any effort he would make to shut down the investigation.
All thanks to Mitch McConnell.
And Paul Ryan.
And Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan worked tirelessly behind the scenes to sabotage Trump.
Yeah.
He was a never-Trumper.
Trump wasn't prepared for that. He also thought that he could get the Democrats to make a deal because that's what he's used to, bringing two sides together. He was not prepared, but he has learned his lesson. He's a quick study. He will not make that mistake again.
So he is coming into 2024, into the presidency, as the 800-pound gorilla. Literally, the 800-pound gorilla. I don't care who you are. You could be a McCain Republican, a liberal Republican. You are terrified of him. You're going to...
Well, good. They deserve it. They deserve to be terrified.
And that's not the way it was. And not only that, he's also made believers out of people that oppose him initially have come alongside, and I think they've generally changed their view on what he stands for. They've become populist. They now believe in it. So it is a whole different ballgame. Mike Johnson probably is going to remain the Speaker of the House.
I hope so. He's done a fairly decent job.
The jury's out on the kind of job he's done because his margins were so thin, he just couldn't see
what he could. Okay, hold that thought, Mike. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
The much-anticipated sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is finally here, Inside the Castle in the Glass. Mike Owen is now in high school enjoying his new girlfriend and his new popularity. But life gets interrupted when a series of mishaps transfer him and his friends into a whole new world, the very world his mysterious Christmas ornament originated from. Inside the Castle in the Glass. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Well, Mike, we have one more segment, but what a blast we're having on the show today. 2 weeks ago, we were cautiously optimistic, but it's just wonderful what's happened since then.
Yes, I'm beyond cautiously optimistic now.
Now you're just genuinely truly optimistic.
Yes. So just to mention, prior to the election, all the big wig political analysts, Nate Silver, actually even Nate Cohn from the New York Times, Nate Silver, you know, formerly of 538, were predicting 100% practically, or 99.9%, the Republicans were going to lose the House. The Republicans did not lose the House, assuming that what it looks like is going to happen because of Trump and the victory he had. So full credit to Trump on this. Not that these guys in the Congress didn't run hard, but without that air cover from Trump.
We need to be careful in the midterms because Trump won't be on the top of that ticket. Right. He'll campaign for them.
Yeah.
But
they actually need to do some stuff. If they just hunker down, they're like, gosh, we don't want to offend anybody.
They've got to do what they promise. Republicans tend to not keep their promises.
Here's what I believe. I believe that there's going to be some weak-kneed Republicans there. They're like, well, I just got here. I'm in this moderate district. What can I do? Well, the bottom line is, in a midterm, dude, you're going to lose your seat in a midterm unless you do something different. You know, it's insanity to think that this pattern is going to change unless you do something different. So, number one, you're going to lose your seat anyway. So, number two is if you don't get on board and vote to support the agenda, we're going to drop $1 million, $2 million to primary your butt out of your and those are the kind of conversations that are going to take place.
I hope so. Why I believe in term limits. It would be nice if people got in and said, I'm only going to be here for 2 years anyway. I may as well just do what I think is right.
Yeah, I think you need more than 2 years, but whatever the number is. There's a limited number there. Yeah, 6 years, whatever. But let's get back here. So I do believe there's going to be people being whipped into shape. And then when Trump comes in with the popular vote, once again, I believe in the Electoral College. But this, the popular vote, the swing, more Black Americans voting for Trump, more Hispanic Americans, more Asian Americans, more Indian Americans, you know, Native Americans voting for Trump, more women voting for Trump. I just think that the momentum is there to bring some of these weaker districts, weaker Republicans into line. So I do think that Mike Johnson does. Now, I will say this. They couldn't. Here's the other thing is if you put a piece of legislation through, we have the Senate now. So it actually could get approved by the Senate. Then it could actually get approved by the president. In the last 2 years, you could do a bill, but the Senate wasn't going to take it up. And the president was going to sign it. Now, so it's a completely different ballgame. And
yeah, they can do it and they better do it.
So, yeah. So I think they're going to do a good immigration bill right off the bat. They could do something. They could reach out to the Democrats and do some kind of smart infrastructure bill, really smart infrastructure bill. Maybe, you know, energy, something to do with energy, the grid, something like that. They should do that. They need to get some wins there. They need it. And then what I would also say is rather than just waiting till the election comes along and then big donors come along and say, yeah, I'm going to give money to this Republican because if he wins, I'll have access to the office. What we need is some of these billionaires that have supported Trump to say, to just have a nonstop campaign during these 2 years, advertising what the Republicans are doing. Rather than waiting until the election cycle when there's a million political ads, just informational ads. Oh, by the way, here's what the Republicans did. Well, by the way, here's what was accomplished. Oh, by the way, here's what Trump did. They need to do things like
that. I do think when it comes to mixed couples, like an illegal immigrant that got married, that's going to be sticky, and I could see some Republicans deflecting on that. But if they could just start by getting the criminals out of the country, the ones that have actually committed crimes and fled, that would be so good for the momentum, and then maybe they could take a careful look at the other thing.
Well, they can look at it, but the thing is that there's right now, and it's fine to focus on the terrorists, the criminals, the rapists, the murderers, the crazy people, which Trump has done. However, right now, this massive influx of illegal immigrants has depressed the wages of working class people. It is hurting them right now.
And if we're not careful, it'll give somebody a green light to say, let me just get into America long enough to marry somebody. And
right. So my point is
we've got to be really careful with that.
Every part of it is bad for the country. And years ago, the Heritage Foundation did a study that talked about the trillions of dollars of cost for the illegal immigrants at that time. Because if you let them stay here, there's no way they will contribute enough to cover their Social Security cost. Then you end up with a deficit of trillions of dollars to pay for the Social Security.
But we're going to hear a lot about pathway to citizenship. And see, if the borders were secure and we stopped the flow and stopped the bleeding, that could be a conversation.
What I want is,
but people won't always have that conversation first without securing the border.
Employer sanctions. So the employer sanctions and also defunding the states that are giving illegal alien services.
Absolutely.
And that will also lead to, and you saw it when our economy was in the doldrums, you actually saw a lot of illegal immigrants deporting themselves.
Yeah.
So self-deportation. So put all the mechanisms in place for self-deporting and then go after the criminals. And then at some point in time, you start saying, hey, in a very methodical fashion, you start.
And you know, Obama deported an awful lot of illegal aliens, but nobody was calling him Hitler when he did it.
Exactly. So that's there. Now, I do want to briefly talk about the tremendous success we had, the victory we had over voter fraud in this cycle.
Good. Go for it.
Well, okay. Heading into this election cycle, I understand that there was a lot of fear, and I felt the trepidation about voter fraud as well. Because when I was doing my predictions, I kept thinking, what's this margin of fraud? How big do you have to big to stop the rig? Right? Too big to rig. Well, we found out we did it. And we saw some signs of voter fraud in Pennsylvania. Three different counties found illegal registrations taking place. That's not ballots. That's registrations. But that's a bad sign.
And every state that Kamala won does not require voter ID.
And that might have, that could make a difference on the close ones. But some of those states are just blue states. I guess my point is there was a narrative out there going that you had to vote only on election day. And behind that narrative was this idea that there was this all-powerful fraud machine out there.
Well, there has been.
No, but not all powerful, Bob. I must say, because it was scary. If you were to believe what they said,
they could only succeed with a small margin.
Right. But they were talking about is literally the ability to commit fraud and then a backdoor into the database to change out the fact that they had committed fraud to hide the fact they did. There was people talking about backdoors into every database and every registrar of voters throughout the country. And people were pushing this narrative. They pushed a narrative that was so negative that if you looked at it, you know, Charlie Kirk was talking about this. By the way, his organization did a fantastic job among the youth. We actually improved among the youth, by the way. We actually got the most youth vote.
We also had a lot more poll watchers and things like that.
But let's just talk about it. He had 3,000 emails from people saying, no point of voting. You've convinced me. You've convinced me. There's no point of voting. The fraud is so powerful. They're so powerful that we can't win. I'm not going to vote. He had 3,000 emails like that. Remember, I did multiple shows combating that mindset. So the bottom line is the people that said to vote early were right. The people that said to just vote on election day, that's fine if you're high propensity voters, they were wrong.
The other thing about Turning Point, which we're not hearing a lot about, is Gen Z really came out.
That's my Trump. I've heard that a lot of that
had to do with the COVID regulations. They saw what a tyrannical government could be like. Some of them weren't even allowed to go to their own high school graduations.
Charlie Kirk's organization did a fantastic job in the Rust Belt states. They were responsible for tens of thousands of votes
Gen
for Trump.
Gen Z getting conservative. What hope that gives to our country.
And it's not happening accidentally. What I was going to say is I want to compliment what Charlie Kirk did and organizations like that did and other organizations out the country.
I was just going to quickly mention the in-voting places. The thing that I thought that my generation was hearing was the intimidation factor that was coming about. I mean, the state of Georgia, they had 60 bomb threats at all these polling places. There was a guy out in Michigan holding an AR-15 and he was threatening anyone who decided to vote for Trump. And so I think that also kind of got into that factor as well.
Well, that was there. And Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton's group, they removed 4 million dirty ballots from the rolls in the country.
Oh, good for them. All right, Mike, final thoughts.
Well,
let's wrap it up.
It was a great election. We have the genesis of a new populist movement. It's been happening for a while, but it really took off this time. We need to cultivate it, work with it. This coalition with Robert F. Kennedy and Tulsi Gabbard and Elon Musk, these are libertarian types. Rand Paul.
This is the new Avengers we're talking about.
Ron Paul's on board now. I mean, literally. So we have this could be, not, as I said, once again.
This is genuine inclusiveness.
This is genuine inclusiveness.
Genuine bipartisanship.
And I believe that as long as you have the core of the movement being conservative, but a tolerant conservative, but the core staying conservative, that we could see a moving forward if we keep building on this, having future electoral college wins plus popular vote wins.
Like Trump was saying, he's going to put Kennedy in charge of health, but he's going to keep him away from the oil fields.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. We'll see you next time.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.